good to see you from the Israel Week. It has nothing to do with Israel, but it's good to have you. Anyways, we had a great tour today, really, in many ways. I mean, the weather couldn't be any better. If this is not good, nothing is good. And it's not hard to be grateful on a day like this. So we have Danish people, we have people from England, right? Hi John, Angela, good to see you again. Germany, of course, Austria, we have a few. Other countries here apart from that. Holland, of course. Russia, yes, that's right. Also back there. Russian, German, our special friends. Any other country? Is that it?
France.
Okay.
Scotland, Ireland.
Okay. And from Schwaben, a few. Yeah. Not Germany. Something different. Okay. By the way, for those who don't know, there may be some who don't know me at all. I'm the director here of Tauernhof. I'm just a couple of days. I'm gone now with a touring week. That is why you didn't see me around. And sometimes I'm traveling quite a bit, so sometimes when people come, they don't meet me. But great to have you. One theme I want to speak on tonight has to do with gratefulness and with trust. I just read a book last week. I was in England speaking at a Bible school there. And I picked up a book from Brennan Manning called Ruthless Trust. And I really enjoyed that. He writes about trust. And he says this. Let's put it this way. If I would ask you now, do you trust God? Probably most of you would say, yes, I do. How could I find out whether you really trust God? There is an easy way to find out. If I would have a video camera to film you 10 days and to see how grateful you are in good and bad circumstances, that's your measure of trust. If you are grateful in good as well as in very bad circumstances, that's the evidence that you trust God. If you're not grateful in tough circumstances, don't say that you trust God, because you don't. That's the key. It's pretty simple. I want to speak on gratefulness tonight. It's one of my heart topics for the simple reason because it probably changed my life, or it influenced my life as a Christian more than many other things. And many years ago, I made a decision. It's a decision that you and I have to make. I made a decision that I will thank God in all circumstances. It doesn't come by chance. You don't just learn it somehow accidentally. It is a decision you need to make. I will thank God, or I won't. Now, it is a decision you make once. That's one part of the truth. But it's also a daily disposition towards God. Every day, our heart needs to look for the right disposition again towards God. A day like today, it's not hard to thank God. If you're not thankful today, I wonder when we are. Now tomorrow, there may be some rain. I wonder how many of us are thankful tomorrow. This will show the measure of your trust. Is God, do I believe that God is under control or not? Do I believe that God means it well with me or not? There is an immense battle going on in our mind. And the battle is between being grateful and complaining. Saying thank you or grumbling. That's the decision, and it's a war going on in our mind. We can decide to be ungrateful. I often tell this story, but it's quick to tell. It was, I think, 2 years ago. It was about this time, after a full winter. Hannelore and I usually go for 3 days to some place where it's a little green. We don't see, half a year, we don't see any green in our garden. It's just white. So we look forward to some green. So we went to a place at the Bodensee, where we sometimes went, just to see warmth and green. And guess what happened? For 3 days it was raining and it was cold. So we were 3 days there in the rain, didn't do much, but I went home and said, thank you, God. It's not what I expected, but it's okay. Because I knew a few weeks later in May, with a mountain guide colleague and her wife, we went to Gardasee, Lake Garda in Italy. It's usually nice, and we were looking to some ice cream, rock climbing, warm sun. And the whole week it was raining and cold. And at home it was nice, by the way, which is always encouraging. And we left after that week again and said, I said, God, it's okay. It wasn't what we were looking forward to, but it's okay. And then in June, I had another few days off, and I stayed at home. I wanted to go rock climbing with some friends. And I was looking forward, and the week was beautiful, but I was sick in bed. And in that week, I remember, I wrote it down. I have a personal diary. I don't read it to anybody except to myself. But this is why I remember those things. I said, God, enough is enough. I work like a madman. I preach my little heart out to tell people about you all around the world. Now I just want a few warm days and you don't even give me one. I stopped saying thank you. I'm fed up. And I stopped saying thank you. I started to grumble and to complain. But the problem was, I became so miserable. My wife didn't enjoy it at all. I became a pretty nasty person. My kids didn't know what's going on. And after 2 days I said, well, this is nonsense. It doesn't work. And so I started to say thank you again. But the point is, you and I, we have absolutely the freedom to choose our path. We have the freedom to decide, I'm going to be thankful or I'm going to be ungrateful. That freedom you and I have. But we have no freedom to choose our destination. You have the freedom to choose your path, but not your destination. In other words, if you decide to be ungrateful, and you can be ungrateful, you will become a bitter, an angry person. That destiny is sure. You cannot choose your destination. You can only choose your path. It's interesting, in the first chapters of the Bible, God said to Adam and Eve, you are free to eat from the millions of trees. By the way, the first command in the Bible is a command of freedom. You are free. You are free to eat from all those trees. Except this one. And in other words, God said, Adam and Eve, you can eat from that tree. I tell you not to eat, but you are free to eat. But I want to tell you something else. If you eat, that's your choice. But if you eat, you will surely die. Your destination is sure. You cannot choose your destination. You choose your path, but your destination is sure. The last few months, I met a few people where I sensed there was a root of bitterness in their heart. And I asked three that I remember, I asked all three of them, is your goal to become a bitter, angry, ugly person? Is that the goal of your life? And all three said, no. Then I said, okay, then start saying thank you right now, because if you don't, you will be bitter, angry, and ugly. You can only choose your path, never your destination. This is why it's so important, the choices that we make. Lastly, you become what you decide to be. There is in English, there is a saying, first you make your decisions, and then the decision turns around and makes you. You saw a thought and you reap an action. You saw an action and you reap a habit. You saw a habit and you reap a lifestyle. You saw a lifestyle and you reap a destiny. That's the way it works. This is why God teaches us in His Word to think right. We need to learn to think right. The reason why we don't trust God, why we don't thank God, is because we think wrong. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Is it okay with translation? Is it too fast or okay? Yeah? Philippians 4 verse 8, the Apostle Paul says, finally, brothers and sisters, you included, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. What are we to think about? Whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, excellent, and so on. Question for you. The day is about 12 hours long by now. Those last 12 hours, was everything that you were thinking pure? Was everything that you were thinking lovely? Was everything excellent? Was everything noble? Well, if you're like me, probably not. If you cared, but a guy said once, would you mind if all your thoughts the last 12 hours, if we put it on the overhead, throw it on the wall for everybody to read, would that be okay with everyone? Is there anybody who wouldn't have a problem? Can I see? You wouldn't have a problem? I was surprised now, yeah. You would be the first person I met that wouldn't have a problem. How come we have a problem? Because we think wrong. Now the problem is, I cannot change my thinking. You see, I would love to think right, honestly. And I'm sure some of you would say, or most of you would say, I would love to think right. The problem is the thoughts are running. We cannot just stop them. They continue and they are impure, they are not lovely, and they are wrong quite a few times. Now, how can I change that? There's only one way, I believe. There are a few ways to help, but there's one major way to change your thinking. And that is by thanking God. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1. Very important verse. Romans chapter 1 and verse 21. Romans 1, 21. And this is crucial. Very important. Let's also read verse 20. Romans 1 verse 20. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, by the way, God is invisible. Nobody can see God. Nobody has ever seen God. His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen. How? being understood from what has been made. Today we have seen what God made. This is how we know that God is there. You never see God. All you see is his creation. That's what the Bible says. So men are without excuse. There is no excuse. If you ski through nature like we did today, you have no excuse. It's also my strong conviction that in every person who is just open, I'm not saying a believer, who is only open, there is an inner voice that tells you there must be a God who made this. It's my strong conviction, every person hears that voice, unless you suppress it. But then he says, verse 21, for although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God, nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Now the interesting thing here is, he says, they did not thank God and therefore their thinking became futile. Thanking and thinking. In German it is Denken und danken. There is a linguistic connection, but there is a spiritual connection. In other words, if you and I, if we do not thank God, if we grumble and complain, our thinking will become wrong. How can we put our thinking right? By learning to thank God. And we can do that because that's a decision that you make. You cannot change your thinking, but you can start thanking. That's the key to a Christian life. This is why the Bible is full of thanking God. God tells us it's a command. He tells us give thanks in all circumstances. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 18. Give thanks in all circumstances. In which circumstances? In all. It says in Psalm 50, it's the Psalm of gratefulness. Psalm 50, God says. Psalm 50, verse 14. Sacrifice thank offerings to God. And down in verse 23, he who sacrifices thank offerings honors me and prepares the way. What shall we sacrifice to God? Our thanks, our gratefulness. Ephesians 5:20 is a very direct verse. Sometimes I'm not sure what to do with it, but it's there in the Bible. Ephesians 5 verse 20, the Apostle Paul says, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. For everything. Ephesians 5:20. Now, friends, these are not just words in the Bible, which are nice. This is what we need to practice. Give thanks for everything in all circumstances at all times. I believe it is when a Christian learns to be grateful in all circumstances, this is when you are filled with the Holy Spirit. This has to do with the filling of the Holy Spirit. Because also, let's read verse 18, Ephesians 5:18. It's talking about this. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. How? Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. How are we filled with the Holy Spirit? By giving thanks to God the Father for everything. Being filled with the Holy Spirit has nothing to do with moving on the stage or jumping around. It has to do with a grateful attitude. The English people say the gratitude attitude. Bonhoeffer, which many of us the name is are familiar with, said, gratefulness opens the way to God. If you put it negative, it says, Ungratefulness closes the way to God. If we are ungrateful, we close the way to God. And Bodelschwing, Father Bodelschwing, an old German theologian said, becoming mature in Christ is really becoming grateful to Christ. If you want to mature, if I want to grow up to maturity as a man of God, I need to learn to be grateful. There is no other way. Because gratefulness is simply my expression of trust towards God. Gratefulness says, God, I don't understand it. God, I don't like it. God, I'm confused about it. But God, thank you. Now some people say, well, how can I thank for evil things? Well, not everything that happens in this world is from God. Most of the things we see in this world is from Satan, not from God. There's a simple reason. Because Satan is the prince of this world. Jesus said 3 times in the Gospel of John, Satan is the prince of this world. Not Jesus, it's Satan. Because Jesus doesn't rape women. Jesus doesn't kill babies before they're born and after they're born. That's Satan's work. So how can I be grateful for evil things? Well, it's true that Satan is the prince of this world, and I'm not grateful for that. But Satan is not my prince anymore. My prince is the prince of peace, Jesus Christ. And because Jesus Christ is my prince, I trust him. Because I know anything that happens in my life is under the control of my prince. And John chapter 4 verse 4, 1 John 4:4 says, the one who lives in me is stronger than the one who lives in the world. My prince is much stronger than the prince of this world. This is why if there are evil things in my life, I know they are from God. This is why I can thank God for evil things in my life. The Bible gives us plenty of those examples. One example which is quickly to be told, I can tell it quickly, is Joseph. We know the story of Joseph, the 12 sons. He was the 11th, second youngest. That was not so bad, but he was a favorite son of his father, which is never good. So Joseph didn't have to work on the field. He was at home with daddy. He knitted him a little coat and cooked with mommy while the other boys were out working on a field. And then he had special dreams where he was the center of the attention. And we read his brothers hated him for that. And one day Joseph came to bring lunch buckets to his brothers, something to eat. And his brother says, we're going to kill this dreamer. We hate him. Their motivation was totally evil. Then Reuben, the oldest one, had a bit of problems to kill him. So they decided to sell him to Egypt, which they did. Joseph ended up in prison for many, many years. We know the story. Finally, he could interpret the dream of the Pharaoh, and Joseph was raised to be the second highest man in Egypt. 20 years after they sold him, he was 17. By the time he was 37, a severe famine came over the land. They didn't have anything to eat. And his 10 brothers came and bowed down before him. It's a long story. He played a bit of a game with them. But then, and this is fascinating, in Genesis chapter 45 and verse 4, Genesis 45 verse 4, then Joseph said to his brothers, come close to me. When they had done so, he said, I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold to Egypt. But now listen. And now, Do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save life that God sent me ahead of you. Verse 7. For God sent me ahead of you. Verse 8. So then it was not you who sent me here, but God. Now the important thing is, the motivation of his brothers was totally evil. But Joseph said, don't worry, God sent me here. And he used you evil people to get me here. Thank you, God. There's a legend I found recently, a meaningful legend. I'll just read it to you. It's a story about, it's just a legend, it's not in the Bible or anything. A hermit named John, who thought a lot about the riddles of life, one day had a dream. A voice was calling him, "Get up, John, take your staff, I will teach you the ways of God." An unknown man came next to him and said, "I'm coming with you because you will be lost on your own." So this hermit, John, went off with his unknown man. The first evening they came to a house. The owner treated them very well because it was a day of celebration for him. He was reconciled with his enemy, who brought him a golden cup. In the morning, as they got ready to leave, John saw how his companion secretly stole the cup and put it in his bag. The hermit became angry with him, but he only got the answer, "Be still. These are the ways of God." The second day, they stayed with a man who was greedy, proud, and swearing all day long. Before they left his house, the unknown companion gave this man the golden cup as a gift. "Why are you doing that?" asked the hermit. But his companion simply put his finger on the lips and answered, "Be still. These are the ways of God." The next day, they stayed overnight with a very poor but lovely family who took good care of these two guests. "God bless you," John's companion shouted as they left. But then he took a fire and burned down his house. The hermit wanted to stop him, but his companion said, "Be still. These are the ways of God." On the fourth day, they stayed with a man who had one very friendly son. "Unfortunately, I cannot come with you," his father said to his guests as they left the next morning. "But my son will show you the way, especially the small bridge over the canyon." The boy went ahead to show them the way. As he was leading them halfway over the bridge, the stranger took this boy and threw him over the bridge into the canyon. The hermit stood there shocked and angry. "These are supposed to be the ways of God. You are a liar," he shouted. At this, the stranger turned into an angel and said, "Listen, John, the golden cup that I stole was poisoned. The kind man will be saved, and the greedy man will kill himself by drinking from it. The poor man will find a huge treasure under his burned down house, which will end all his poverty. And the child that I threw into the canyon would have become a murderer. You couldn't see the wisdom in the ways of God. Now you had a glimpse of it. In the future, be very careful with your judgments." It's a very wise legend, because you find that in the Bible. If you study the life of Job, Ezekiel, Hosea, Jesus Christ himself, on the cross, all the evil of the world was being poured out. And Jesus was there because it was for a purpose. He knew why. And you see, the thing is, when evil things happen in our life, the first question we ask, How can I be grateful for something evil? But we rarely ask, could it be that God is in control and that he can use the evil in my life to bring forth blessing? We very rarely ask that question. You see, because thanking God has very little to do with how you feel. One woman once said to me, well, if I feel like swearing and I thank God, I'm a hypocrite. In German, she said, it's hard to translate. She said, there's a Selbstverarschung. How can I? This is crazy to do that. Well, I told her, I haven't found a single verse in the Bible which says, if you really feel like it with all your heart, say thanks to God. You will never find that verse because it's not in the Bible. But I know what's in the Bible. The Bible says as a command, the Word of God, be thankful for all things, all the time, everywhere, for everything. This I know. Because you don't need to feel like thanking God in order to thank God. You only need to be obedient to thank God. Thanking God is a step of obedience. It has nothing to do with our feelings. There is such a destructive element of ungratefulness. What I was surprised in the 2 Timothy chapter 3, it's the chapter of all the ungodly attributes of man. I want to read it to you, and you will find one interesting word in there. It's in 2 Timothy and chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, he says this, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. Why will it be terrible? People will be lovers of themselves. Would you say that lovers of themselves are attractive people? Probably not. We all agree that this is not good. This is 2 Timothy 3 verse 1. Lovers of money. Boastful, we all agree that boastful is not good, right? Proud, abusive, we all know that this is bad. Disobedient to their parents, and here's an interesting word, ungrateful. How come we don't think about ungratefulness as straight as about pride and boastful and abusive? It's in the same list. Because ungratefulness is so painful to God because there is nothing he can do. Maybe this is a surprise, but I want to make you aware, God doesn't have a big problem with disobedience. I don't have a big problem with disobedience. My children, they are disobedient every now and then, which has a good reason because they have the sinful nature of their mother. But if one of my children is disobedient, that's quite easy. I get him or her, sit down, we talk about it. You know, there may be some consequences and that's it. But you know what? When a child is ungrateful, there is nothing you can do. We experience it sometimes also with our Bible school students. There may be a student, you know there's something wrong with him or her. She doesn't, you know, come along, she goes her own way, she's negative. And so you go to that person and say, is there anything wrong? Is there anything where I can help you with? And that student simply says, no, there's nothing wrong. Turns around and slams the door. What can you do? Just endure it. That's ungrateful. God doesn't have a problem with disobedience, but he cannot deal with ungratefulness. He simply needs to endure it. This is why ungratefulness is in this list of ungodly attributes. Now, gratefulness is not something we just say over a meal, we give thanks, or on a nice day. Gratefulness is to be practiced in the hard times of life just as much as in the good times. I sometimes share this story of my own life. Now, I cannot speak of suffering. Honestly, I don't even know what it is. My life has been too good in many ways. And yet, suffering is not objective, it's subjective. So I have the freedom to still speak about it, although objectively I wouldn't have even a right to speak about it. But I always remember when I first started at Tarnhof, I used to be a ski instructor full-time, Austria, Australia, and the States as well. And I never had a skin problem. I was in the sun, I got tanned, I never needed a sunscreen. Until when it was right around when I started at Tarnhof, 88, 89. I became allergic against the sun. Within 1 week, I couldn't stand. I had the mountain guide thing up on the Simoni Hut on the glacier, and my face could not stand the sun anymore. But nobody knew what it was. I went to lots of doctors, spent lots of money. The only thing that relieved it a little bit was cortisone, but there was nothing we could do. One winter, I remember, I could only leave the house with a face mask. Yeah. And Laura made me two face masks, a thin one and a thicker one. And this is how I left the house. And Hannelore, my wife, started to be a nurse at the same time. And in her last year of nursing school, she became allergic against the disinfection stuff in the hospital. So she was told to quit and to leave. She couldn't go on with her profession. And she had a similar thing up with her hands, one time at all her body, but just with her hands. And I remember we were freshly married, just a couple of years. Sometimes at night, it was pretty bad. After midnight, 1 or 2 o'clock, it was so itchy. I scratched my face, you know, my nose was so thick, full of water. And you scratch until you bleed, then there's some relief. Hannelore was scratching here until she was bleeding. We had salt water in our tap, and we jumped into salt water again. And for 2 years, this was going on. And I remember sometimes Hannelore cried in the morning. She said, "This is really bad. What shall we do?" And I remember, because I wrote in a diary, otherwise I wouldn't even remember. But then I said, well, let's thank God. Because I knew one thing even back then. I knew if God wants to, he could heal us in an instant. God can do that. That's not hard. My face did get healed through prayer then. But at this moment he didn't. But I knew he could. But for some reason he allowed it to happen. And so we knelt down and we said, thank you, God. We don't like it. We don't understand it. In fact, we hate it. But God, thank you. You know better than we do. And I, in retrospect now, I believe it was those 2 years that prepared us for the ministry that we are in at the moment. Because it was those hard times. They were hard for us. Objectively, it's nothing. But for us, it was hard. And to be grateful in it prepared us for the ministry that God put us into then. And in this book I mentioned the other day, I read a great story. There's an old lady, she was in hospital. She couldn't move. Her hands were paralyzed, her feet were paralyzed. The only thing she could move was her neck. And one young girl went to visit that lady. And that old lady always said, I'm so grateful that I can still move my neck. I'm so grateful to God. A week later, that student went again, and she couldn't move her neck anymore. And that old lady said, I'm so grateful that I can still see and hear. I'm so thankful to God. But then the student said, well, what if I come next week and you don't see and you don't hear anymore? Then she said, then I'm just so grateful that you come and visit. You see, friends, that's gratefulness. It has little to do with good weather or bad weather, with health or sickness, with good food or bad food. It has to do with trust. Am I trusting God or not? And if you're not grateful, you do not trust God. It is as simple as that. A Lutheran pastor, he became a friend over the years, but he died. It's now, I didn't write it down. I think it was last year or 2 years ago, it doesn't matter. I went to his church near Bonn, in Germany, every year, my age, four children. But when I visited him, I think 2 or 3 years ago it was now, he had cancer, internal cancer. He had chemotherapy over a few months. And I never forget it because I asked him, I said, Peter, what is the one thing that you learned or that God showed you, whatever, during your time of chemotherapy? And he said, there is only one thing I can tell you, but I have never been so grateful. It was fall when I was there, I think October or November. He said, every leaf that falls from a tree is so beautiful, and I thank God for every leaf. He said, every cup of tea that I drink tastes so well. I thank God for the cup of tea. He said, I have never been so grateful in my life. A few months later he died, which was sad because he left his young wife and four children. But I never forget it. It taught me a great deal. And I have a great quote of Charles Spurgeon. He confessed, he said, I'm afraid that all the grace I have gotten out of my comfortable and easy times and happy hours might almost lie on a penny. But the good that I received from my sorrows and pains and griefs is altogether incalculable. What do I not owe to the hammer and the anvil, the fire and the file? Affliction is the best bit of furniture in my house. It's the best bit of furniture in my house. And therefore, I want to encourage you. Some of you here may go through big struggles at the moment. Maybe you struggle with your children at the moment, who are not walking with God, who are totally off what you ever thought they could be. Question, have you thanked God for that, for your children and for the circumstances? Maybe that you struggle in your church with unfair elders, with a pastor that you think doesn't understand, with Christians who you think they're not loving. Have you thanked God for them? Have you thanked God for your pastor who maybe doesn't preach the gospel the way you think he should? Maybe your health is not very good. Have you thanked God for your bad health? Maybe your future is very uncertain. You really don't know what's coming. Have you thanked God for that? See, this is the only way how we can show God that we trust Him. And I want to give you just one little thing, maybe for this week. It's not hard to do. Maybe tonight or tomorrow. Write down 5 reasons why you want to thank God. 5 easy reasons. You can put them in your Bible, maybe on your mirror if you don't read your Bible daily. You look into the mirror daily, I know that. Put it there, then you don't need to think up 5 new reasons every day. And when you've done that, write down 1 person that you cannot stand. We always have some of those. And then learn to thank God for that person every day. You know what you will find out after a while? It's very hard to think negative about the person you pray for. And you know what happens with your thinking? You learn to think right. How? By thanking God. That's the way it works. This is how God taught us to live. If we don't take God and His Word serious, we must not be surprised that we are so confused about the Christian life. If we would only take Him serious and do what He tells us to do, we would find that the Christian life is the most wonderful thing that you could ever experience on this world. And everything you and I are supposed to be is a witness for other people to see how wonderful it is to live with Jesus. But they will only see it if we are grateful people. I want to close with the verse I started with, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. I travel a lot and I usually have a Q&A time, question and answer time. There are three most asked questions. If you have a good answer to that, you're a good teacher. So just get the answer for those three questions. One of the most frequent questions is, what is God's will for my life? I get this wherever I go. Sometimes, I don't do that always, but sometimes I say, you know what, I came from Austria, particular only to answer you that question because I know exactly what God's will is for your life. They're usually very surprised. They think I'm a prophet. And I say, actually, I am. Let me show you. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I know exactly what God's will is for you. To give thanks. Forget all the other things. Just start to give thanks. Because that's God's will. And I'm almost certain that the other things will fall into place. By the way, it's interesting, the next verse, verse 19. It says, do not put out the Spirit's fire. It's very easy to put out the Spirit's fire. Just don't say thank you. Don't say thank you. Nobody will see Jesus Christ living in you because you put out the fire. How can you rekindle the fire? How can you be filled with the Spirit? Just say thank you. And everybody looking at you will see Jesus. That's Christian life. It's exciting. And it's not hard. It's not a work we need to do. It's an attitude we need to learn. It's hard in a way. Because it hurts our pride, our stubbornness, and our logic. But it's not a difficult act. It's something you and I can do every day, whether good or bad. And so I hope tomorrow we have lots of rain, because tomorrow night we have a video camera. We want to know who trusts God. Now this is... I know it sounds funny, but it's not funny. It's real. This is how we can find out for ourselves whether we trust God or not. Let's pray. Father, what a wonderful thing it is to learn from you, from your word. I want to thank you, Lord Jesus, that you, even when you broke the bread and you shared the wine, you gave thanks, even though you knew this is speaking of your broken body and your spilled blood. And you gave thanks for the broken body and the blood that you spilled. Thank you for that example, Lord. And so I want to learn to be grateful in all circumstances, because you are the prince of my life. And nothing happens in my life without your permission. Therefore I know whatever happens is from you. And therefore I know I can say thank you to you. I may not feel like it. And Lord, thank you that we are free to tell you how we feel, that we are free to complain to you as did our forefathers. But at the end, they decided to say thank you because they knew better. They knew that you are almighty. And you, Almighty God, who the one who is capable to build those mountains, you're absolutely capable to take care of my life. You take care of the sparrow. You even know every hair on my head. And therefore I want to trust you, because you are a good God. Thank you for that. So Father, I pray that I, my family, and these people, that we continually learn increasingly to say thank you in all circumstances. And that we encourage each other to do so, because we want to learn to trust you. Thank you for this ski week. Thank you for the time together, for the fun together, for the fellowship. But I also thank you for those times that may be hard, that we don't enjoy, that we do not understand, because you are in it. Thank you, God. And in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right.